a registered investment advisor, member FINRA SIPC.
Hi, I'm Sheridan County Commissioner Christy Haswell. I'm proud of my yes votes to use optional 1 cent funding to replace the wheelchair ramp at the Bighorn Women's Club, which also serves as a polling location, and to repair the elevator at the former public library. We need more yes votes that invest in infrastructure and ensure public spaces are accessible for residents of all ages and abilities throughout Sheridan County. Please vote to re-elect Christy Haswell on August 18th. Thank you. Paid for by Friends of Christy Haswell.
Once a week, a son calls his father.
Hi, Dad.
Just to check in. It's not a long call, 10 minutes maybe, but it matters. When people start to feel forgotten, a call or visit can remind them they're not alone.
They're not alone.
A few minutes of kindness can change the course of a day, sometimes a life. And when someone's going through a hard time, storing a firearm safely, even for a few days, can give them the space to heal. If you or someone you love is struggling, call or text 988. Help is here, day or night. Always free, always confidential. Call or text 988, 24 hours a day. Wyoming takes care of its own. Always has, always will. A message from Wyoming Health Fairs, with support from the McMurray Foundation, Natrona Collective Health Trust, and the Wyoming Association of Broadcasters, working together to make sure no Wyoming neighbor faces their darkest moments alone.
Due to extreme heat, schedule changes have been made for the Sheridan County Fair. Thursday, July 30th, the Swine Show will start at 7 a.m. Friday, July 31st, Lamb Show starts at 7 a.m. and the Goat Show will be at 6 p.m. Saturday morning, August 1st, come for the Farmers Co-op Pancake Breakfast from 6 to 8 a.m. and stay for the Beef Show at 7 a.m. All shows will also be live streamed on SheridanMedia.com.
This is Public Pulse, your information and conversation program, brought to you by First Federal Bank and Trust. You can voice your opinion by calling 672-KROE. That's 672-5763. Now, your host for Public Pulse, Floyd Whiting.
Wednesday, July 29th. From the foot of the Bighorns in Wyoming's Emerald City, I'm Floyd Whiting, and this is Public Pulse. And this morning we are joined by Sage Community Arts Executive Director Jill Benson. And who do you have with you today, Jill?
We have the one and only gallery baby, Vivi Benson.
Vivi Benson. She's doing great. She's got lots of paper to do some drawing. I can add to my collection, Vivi.
Ready a framed artist.
Already. You are in a gallery that many people visit every week. Well, my friend, how has the summer been?
It's been amazing. You know, we just kind of dove into another summer at Sage. As I've said before, one of our favorite things to do for the summer is to offer spaces for kids to create art. And over the years, we've had, you know, two or three. Then one summer, we got up to six. Last year, we're like, why not double it and do 12? And that was such an amazing experience. We had such great feedback from the kids, from the parents, and even my staff also were. Our only critique was, let's not do a double day camp. So those were a little taxing. But I have such a great staff, and they wanted to bring that energy back. And so we have, so far we have had a kid camp every week of the summer, and we still have them to, well, our last camp will be the week before they go back to school.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had some camps that have had huge wait lists, others that were not as full, but they were just not as full with physical bodies, but they were still full of creativity.
Yeah.
And we have hit everything from leather design, pastels, watercolors, drawing. This week is book binding and making, and next week is a paper mache. And it's just been so amazing to see the ideas and the excitement, creativity that comes out of our studio. And the kids, they come in every day just absolutely excited to be there, and like, well, wait to see you tomorrow. And they're so excited to show you their creations that they're working on. It's just been wonderful to see. And it's been also fun to see a lot of kids have, you know, taken multiple camps with us, and to see from the first time they come into Sage, they're like, okay, we're the gallery and they're a little cautious. And then by the next camp and even the next day, they're like, this is my space. This is where I get to be. And they're telling their parents, like, did you see this? We talked about this. And one of the things we make sure to do with each of our camps, because there's always a way to tie it in, is we bring the kids up to the main exhibition gallery mm-hmm. and have them discuss and talk about the exhibition and parts that they see in each work and painting or sculpture that's in there. And to hear them talk about the work and what they're seeing and able to understand and interpret within the artwork is just amazing. The last show we had, Different But Same, there's this amazing sculpture by Sue Summers. It was called the Mortality Cabinet. And she had on one side of the cabinet, which was an old card catalog from the library. So there's also some of the kids are like, what is this thing? We're like, oh, this doesn't make us feel aged at all.
Back in the day.
But the one side had all the drawers out and had, she crocheted these amazing dolls. They were all different colors. They had patchwork. Some were solid black, solid pink. Others had mismatched. So they were all different. And they had these bright eyes. And on the other side, all the drawers were out, perfectly identical. And all of the gray dolls all wow. lined up, all closed, eyes. And we're all the same as we pass on to the next life. And there's one drawer that was left open for the viewer. And the kids got it instantly. They understood the story. They understood what it was. Like, all different. And we're all the same. And they would tell each other the stories. And they would tell the, you know, the parents. And it was a beautiful moment. Sue is actually still in the gallery from the events we were having. And she heard the kids talking the story. And she said, it was like my own words, my own thoughts were coming back to me.
Incredible.
It was absolutely, absolutely incredible. And they hadn't been prompt. They'd been told about it, you know, a day before in the camp and stuff. But to hear them come back and able to continue to reinterpret it, she's like, this is exactly what I was trying to do. And it very much edges towards contemporary art. And it was a piece that the kids understood, other community members, older, more traditional artists and community members who think, you know, realist art, to see this contemporary art and just understand it was absolutely wonderful. This kind of a bridge type sculpture to understand not only how we're different but same, but also how to start engaging with a different style of art and yeah. still be able to understand it and see meaning in it.
I find it fascinating, you know, the innocence of a child being able to kind of walk into a gallery, look at a piece of art, and have their perception kind of be not surface level, but instantaneous.
Yes.
And unfiltered.
Completely.
Unfiltered by experience, unfiltered by, let's say, you know, being jaded by various things in the world. Like, but you see what I'm saying? This perception of innocence, looking at something so deep and rich.
Yeah.
And yet they understand it. What is that like? And do you feel that maybe sometimes within teaching and art, there is a prompting that goes on where, well, this is what they were trying to say. This is all they were trying to say. And that's that. Because when I was in an English class, I experienced something very much like that, where my professor at the time and I got into not an argument, but we'll say it an open, healthy discussion on a writing from an author.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw this, but they said, no, that's not what the writer was trying to say. You completely missed it. You didn't understand any of it. Okay, but I understood something.
Yeah, there's...
And maybe it's not saying to me the same thing that it says to all these academics. And I'm not putting down academics.
No.
But what I'm saying is sometimes we become so right. Okay, I use air quotes.
Yeah, big quote. Yeah.
We're so correct. In a perception that we can't look at it with fresh eyes and maybe see something more.
Well, and I think that's such a poignant point to say, is that we want to know, what were they thinking? What was the feel of the brushstroke going this way and then curving back the other way? What was the sharpness of it? Why was it sharp? Why was it not? Why
intention.
Was the
spit?
Yeah. What was the intention of all of this? And when you watch the kids create, they're truly just letting the creativity flow. They're instantly in a flow state, which, you know, is all of my older adults and friends trying to figure out. They're like, I just want to get back to that flow state where I can create and stuff. And that's what you can see with the kids. They're just allowing it to go in there. You rarely hear them go, oh, that was wrong, or
no mistakes.
The only time I heard an oops was when they knocked over the full bottle of glitter, but yeah. We're like, well, that's gonna be extra sparkly, and they're just like, this is great, ah! And that they could capture that, and then they take that same interpretation and they walk through the gallery and see that they're not trying to look for, like, okay, they have this image slightly turned counterclockwise and this one just angled this. What was the intention? Like, oh, that's so cool. Then look, they got the eyes. Ooh, and this one's got colors in the dirt. And they're just like engaged in the color, the feel, the vibes of what's going on with the work. And actually one of our instructors coming up for the abstract camp, he's very open to that sort of interpretation of his work. He's like, I'm just doing this. I'm just flowing. And they're really is what they're hoping with, you know, quote, abstract camp, is that it's just a place that there's free creativity. And it's more just, oh, what does it feel like to use tissue paper or to use the cattle markers or to use these, which will be very fascinating. You know, some of the kids are ranchers. Like, I know what this marker's for. It's like, oh, but what if you used it on a canvas? And when he has shown some of his artwork, people be like, oh, I see a gnome or I see two horses. And he's like, do you now? Well, that's so fun. And they're like, what are you thinking? He's like, I was just feeling, I was just moving. I was seeing, you know, having been an opera singer, he's taken like what eventually those vibrations turn into colors. And so that's where he's transitioned now into a visual artist. And so he really creates on a, what is the feel? What is this? Like, he's just playing and it will come together, and then he allows that to be seen, and that's what he encourages through what he creates. His artist statement is, art is in the eye of the beholder. Which is, I love that as a statement. I use it a lot for everyone. It's like, you know, you're trying to get across this work, but unless you are standing by your work 24/7 telling them exactly what you're expecting, you're also kind of caging yourself in. You're caging the viewer in to, like, you're only allowed to interpret it this way. And that's what the beauty of art in all disciplines is, because that color might invoke something, you know, very passionate or very scary with me or very light with you, depending on what experiences we've had. Or, you know, with a kid, thankfully, hopefully a lot of them, they don't have... It's just like, oh, that color is like, it's just bright. It just drives me to it, you know. And to be able to allow those different experiences, those different emotions come through. And we see it with kids too, you know, just by what their brains are thinking and trying to feel and cultivate. The reds might be like, oh, I feel, this makes me feel powerful. Or the reds might be feeling more angelic today or beautiful in a way. And to see them... This simply by the feel of what they're allowing, the rawness, the simple beauty of what those colors and the lines and layers come together.
And when you create something, it will hopefully outlast you by decades, by centuries, you know. And so when we look at these paintings by the masters and we start to break them down,
right?
Because we start to think, okay, well, why did they put this figure here and this one in the background? Why is Jesus in the back? What were they trying to say, right?
Why are her eyes this way, not that way?
Yeah, why is she looking directly at me? What were they trying to deliver? It's fun to do.
It's very fun.
But we can get locked into that.
Mm-hmm.
Where, who was it, Freud, who said sometimes the cigar... is just a cigar.
Right.
And what if that's what the artist was trying to say? I think that's one reason why I don't find Picasso's art to be the only fascinating thing about him. He was a master.
Yes.
But one day he woke up and he basically said, what is art? Does it have to be this? Does it have to be precise and about precision and getting light right? Or can I flip this on its head?
Yeah.
And say, this is what I'm seeing.
Yeah. And that's what has been so fun with these kid camps is we're really pushing more of how, you know, the basics, the foundations of how to use, watercolors are, you can do so much with them, but, you know, you do need to add water to them, or it can be in various degrees, but that's what helps. And then oils will be different. But just giving this basic understanding to exactly, I know we've talked this before, understand your basics so well so that you can break them and create with them beyond that. We saw that with the leather design camp. It's like, okay, you can stamp like this and do this, and, you know, leather's harder, so you're going to have to use a punch like this. But then the kids went wild with the stuff that they were doing. They're painting on it. They're drawing on it. They're cutting it. They were stitching it. It was just allowing this beautiful material, especially one that's so in the nature and history of Sheridan leather, to be used in these very contemporary stuff, very traditional. You know, we saw they were trying traditional carving, but others were painting flamboyant colors on that. You're like, oh, you're taking this historical, traditional kind of cowboy feel, and you're making it this very contemporary art. And it was just allowing them to create because they love the feel of the marker on the leather. But they understood, okay, this properties of this works this way, and the properties of this works that way. Now, how can I start to mingle them? And, you know, maybe it wasn't that deep of level in their thought, but the feel and understanding, the intuition of it was going. And that's so much, there's just so much intuitive creation with what we get to see in the kid camps. And that was it's just been an honor to get to watch and be a space that we're like, yes, come create, explore, see what you can do and how far you can push that.
We're going to talk about a couple of possible opportunities when we come back, as well as an exhibit that you got to get down and see as soon as you can. The clock is ticking. More with Sage Community Arts in just a moment. Stay with us. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM Sheridan.
First Federal Bank and Trust invites you to the Rooted in Adventure Sweepstakes.
Now through July, every eligible purchase with your First Federal MasterCard debit card earns an entry.
You don't have a card? Open an account online to start participating.
The more you use your card, the more chances you earn.
You could win a trip for two to New York, LA, Miami, or Chicago, or prepaid MasterCards worth $1,000 or $500.
The Rooted in Adventure Sweepstakes on now at First Federal Bank and Trust. Go to efirstfederal.bank for full details.
Cowboy up for the final Wolf Creek Wrangle Trail Run, brought to you by Fremont Toyota. Race day is Saturday, September 19th. Choose a 5-mile, 7-mile, or half marathon run or hike at Historic Eaton's Ranch. Every registration supports Habitat for Humanity of the Eastern Bighorns to build safe, affordable homes for local families. Don't wait. Register today at runwolfcreekwrangle.com. Supported in part by Sheridan Media and Sheridan County Travel and Tourism.
Do you struggle to hear or hear ringing, buzzing, or hissing that won't go away? That could be tinnitus, and you're not alone. Hi, this is Elizabeth from EBA Hearing, and I have good news. Today's advanced hearing aids and innovative, proven therapy like Lanier use sound and gentle stimulation to reduce tinnitus awareness. Relief starts with a conversation. Call EBA Hearing to schedule a hearing loss or tinnitus evaluation today, because silence shouldn't feel so far away. 674-8920. That's 674-8920.
This is Brad at Prime Rate Motors. If you're looking for a good, honest, pre-owned vehicle, stop by and see what we've got on the lot. Pickups, SUVs, and cars that are ready for Wyoming roads and Wyoming weather. No runaround, just solid vehicles at fair prices. Whether it's for work, ranch, or just getting around town, we'll help you find the right ride. Prime Rate Motors at 2305 Coffin Avenue in Sheridan, or visit us online at primeratemotors.com.
Joe Biden and the radical Democrats spent recklessly, raised your taxes, and tried to shut down American energy. Their EPA went after Wyoming ranches and farms. The result? Record prices and inflation. Conservative Steve Freese has a plan to make life affordable again.
People ask me, why does everything cost so much? It's simple. Politicians tax too much and spend too much. As a businessman, I know the value of a dollar and how to balance a budget. Take it from me, we can cut spending. Politicians just have to try. In Congress, I'll tighten government's belt. We'll cut outright fraud and keep taxes low. And more energy production means everything costs less.
Steve's plan? Lower taxes, less regulation, stop the fraud, end the reckless spending, produce more Wyoming energy.
I'm Steve Freese, and I prove this message because I want to keep your money in your pocket.
Paid for by Freeze for Wyoming.
Good morning. Welcome back to Public Pulse. I'm your host, Floyd Whiting, and this morning we're speaking with Jill Benson, Sage Community Arts Executive Director. Now, I promised you a couple of opportunities for some more of these fantastic kids' art camps at Sage. This is a partnership with the YMCA.
Yes.
This is something that I absolutely love. Not every kid wants to be an outside kid. And even if they are, there are so many camps offered. You could split your summer up. You could go do an outside camp, have fun, learn how to do all the basic outside things, and then go down to Sage and get an art camp. There are two left.
Yes, two left that are... have openings. We have the next one coming up that has openings is abstract art, and the wonderful Gene Sager and Diane Wyatt, local beloved artists, will be teaching that camp. And they are, the exuberance that they have coming into planning this and having watched their work come into the gallery of how they've changed. I've only seen Gene create in abstract since I've been director, but I've seen Diane kind of keep doing both, but really getting into abstract again. They are so playful with the materials, just as we've been talking about. And that is exactly what they're going to teach the students. I know sometimes you think abstract art, what are we going to do with that? This is just to let it be to truly the basics of abstract. Whatever comes to your mind, allow it to be free to create and to get to play with such an immense array of materials. They'll get a hit: charcoal, pastel, colored pencil, marker, paints, these bleedable tissue paper markers, every kind of thing that you want to try to put in there. It's playing with the basics, understanding the properties of that. It's like, okay, the marker does this sort of thing. It grabs on this texture, but it doesn't really grab on this paper. Just getting to explore and play with these different materials to allow that, if the student wants to really dive into just abstract and how it lays together. But one of the things that always gets missed with abstracts is there's intent behind the movement, maybe not always the most detailed, planned out of as you're trying to lay out a landscape or still life. But it does understand, like, well, if the swish of the green marker comes through the bleeding tissue paper, is that going to blend the right way, or is that going to muddy the cohesiveness that's going to the song that's going through the paper? So there is, you know, understanding of, while the marks might not look like anything specific, their camaraderie in there is very important in the work. So there is a lot of thought and process that goes through that. And then also a little bit of courage to see, like, if we're going to let something drip on there, okay, I understand the general basics and principles of this, but will it work now? Will it still do what I'm doing? So it's so great to work in the abstract, to allow allow some thought and process and control of it, but also letting go and just allowing the materials to do what the materials will do. And honestly, children are some of the best at doing that. Yeah. They're just like, I'm going to do this. And it might not be something we've even thought about. And we've said this with other classes when a younger student is in with older students who've been working in that medium so long, and they see the younger student just experiment and creating, they're like, oh, right, this is why I got into it. This allows me to rethink this beloved medium that's driving me insane right now. But if I just add more water, don't add any water, add this, add a sparkle, it's more fun. I get to create again. I get that youthful, I find my child in me again.
You know what I think it is? Fear.
Yes.
You know, artists without fear, I think that is probably the one of the greatest senses of freedom to truly experience. And when I say fear, I'm not talking about the boogeyman. I'm talking about society, the public. Will they like it? Will they like this? Do they think what I'm doing is good? Am I wasting my life?
Right.
You know, like all these fears that just seem to grab us like static electricity. You know, they're on us no matter how far we try to push them or remove them.
Yeah.
And it takes an insane amount of discipline. And people may even say, you know, Floyd, you got this backwards, but I really don't think I do. It takes an insane amount of discipline to remind yourself, I don't care.
Yes. No, I 100% agree with that. And so much, and that's what the beauty of seeing the students create is they, at this point, they don't care about the societal ideas. Like, is it going to like it? Is it going to sell? Or are they going to think this? Da, 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 da. All those little voices that just chatter at you all the time. It's not there in their beautiful, beautiful ears.
And that's why you get, I think, some of the best stuff.
Oh, we've had amazing.
These amazing works.
Yeah. And they're so passionate about it. They're so excited to show these works. And so we have the abstract coming up. And then the last camp that'll tie up our summer will be nature art. We have a few openings just in there. And that's going to be taught by another local artist, Nikki Swenson. And so she's learned some fabulous techniques. It's been really fun to watch her process change. But she's, you know, talking to her, she is also trying to get back into that, allow the creativity, allow the playful, allow the voices to be shushed and pushed away into the corner. And so I think that one could be, it will be just as fun to say, yes, we're looking at nature, but again, how do you take the physical nature and capture its essence in the way that speaks to you? Do you see the leaf as new and coming and brilliant, or one that its brilliance is now starting to fade as it's wilting away? Like, how do you transition that onto your paper or into your painting? And Nikki does a great job with showing that, and also adding this extra whimsical light and color combinations to her work. You'll see these beautiful landscapes, but you're like, I didn't think we had fluorescent pink quite like that, but that does capture what I think of Wyoming. It's like, yes, it's like, yeah, you might not find that color actually in nature, but then when you see it, like, yes, that's the beautiful Wyoming sunset I've always envisioned and try to tell people about.
What are you seeing as opposed to what are you truly seeing?
Yes, right? And so she's going to do this great job of, you know, kind of, yes, paint what you feel if it's not exactly what you see, but how does it, what do you interpret?
Now, how can folks learn more about this and get registered?
So, again, like we said, with our partnership with the YMCA, they're the kid experts, the sign-up experts, and we're the art experts. So to do the camps, go to the YMCA's website, sign up through them, and both through them and SAGE, we offer scholarships so that this is accessible to anyone. So please sign up through there.
I'm running out of time with you. Do you have, there's a call for art that you would like to announce?
Yeah, just to remind people, in September, we have shifted a little bit. So September, if you're interested in being a member, if you've, you know, heard about all that we're seeing, talking about, excited to see more of what SAGE can offer to you, our next member call for arts, you just sign up as a member, $55 a year. Will be September 10th through 12th. And that's where we really encourage you to bring your gallery ready piece, or maybe if it's not quite gallery ready, we can do some prints. But we are so happy to talk to you about how to get you to be a member. What steps does that take to get your work from the easel to the wall?
And let go.
And let go. Just let it go and see it on the wall, because I can guarantee you, you'll talk to another member who's like, this is the first place I hung art on the wall, and it was just the most amazing, yeah, relief and anxiety expulsion of, oh, it's up there, it's great. No one's yelling at me, no one's chasing me with pitchforks. It's great. It's awesome. I'm feeling free and relieved, and I now want to create more.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And fear, then, if nothing to fear but fear itself.
Yeah, and if you want to see how an artist can really create to the extent of theirs, our show that's up right now is by Nathan Trampy. A full room of contemporary yet historical cowboy Western figures, this beautiful blend to show that, you know, 20 some pieces he put together, pushed them out, pushed the boundary of his capabilities to really make this amazing work come together in a very tight time frame.
When does that come down?
That show doesn't come down until August 29th.
Yes. August 29th, folks, get in there, see this work. I've seen just a sliver of it, and from what I've seen, it's absolutely beautiful. I stared at that this morning, what you sent
me. Yeah, it's just phenomenal.
And I just tried to figure out how he did it.
It's amazing. It's really great. Yes, they're all figures. There's some that are a bit historical, you know, looks like Clint Eastwood or Festus, but the others are just bits and pieces from other references. So you can see yourself in the cow. Yeah. You can see yourself in the group of guys having a Coke. And it's just so engaging. And that he also used this graffiti style. So you see that, and it is spoken to everyone in the community so far. People who don't understand graffiti or don't understand the contemporary, they're like, oh, but the eyes, the figure, that was so engaged. I was just drawn in. And then others are like, this is so fun to see modern and graffiti in a high-level gallery and to see this blend. Nathan has done such a great, again, another bridging artist to be able to bring so many different perceived, this is the only style I like, this is the only style I like, bringing them together to see how it can mix to be a piece where you're like, oh my gosh, I do like some of this different line making in these figures and these little shapes that pop up with this beautiful, very powerful eyes or this jawline that is chiseled beyond amazingness. And
well, I've run out of time with you, my friend. Just to get caught up, I should just schedule you and I for a whole show.
We should.
let's touch base offline. I'm trying to work up a project. We'll see what we can do.
Beautiful.
I want to thank you so much for coming in this morning.
Thanks for having us.
It's always great having both of you in here. And she's created me some more art that I hang on my wall. So thank you.
Thank you.
All right. When we return, we're going to speak with the food group. Stick with us. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
First Federal Bank and Trust is launching our Community Commitment Match to support our local fire districts during this fire season.
First Federal is putting up an initial $35,000, and a Wyoming Community Foundation Donor Advised Fund is matching that $35,000. Now we're asking the community to match an additional $35,000.
Scan the QR codes in any branch office, check our ad in this week's Country Bounty, or drop off a check at our full-service location at 671 Illinois Street. First Federal Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
I'm Glenn Drummond, running for Sheridan County Commissioner. Experience matters when it is earned through real work, solving problems, managing people, handling budgets, and leading through difficult situations. Over the past 20 years, I have learned how to steady challenging moments, cut through distractions, and deliver results without drama. That is practical experience that works. Let's work together for Sheridan County. Vote Glenn Drummond for Sheridan County Commissioner, paid for by Glenn Drummond.
What does your dream garage look like? All your tools perfectly organized and stored in a shiny new Carlisle toolbox, or a whole wall of every Milwaukee power tool you could ever want? How about a car lift? Ooh, a car lift on wheels. You need to check out the Real Deals flyer from Napa. It has everything you could ever want for your dream garage. You're welcome. Stop in the store or view it online. If Napa doesn't have it, they can get it. Napa Auto Parts in Sheridan, making dream garages come true.
Hey, Doug, my neighbor bought a new vehicle from Waring Chevrolet.
Yeah, I know, a nice one.
Now he waves at me every morning.
Friendly guy?
No, he's showing off.
Sounds like you need a new ride.
I was thinking the same thing.
Bob, come see us. We have a great selection of new Chevrolets, quality pre-owned vehicles. Qualified buyers can receive up to 0% financing for 60 months on select new models.
Guess who's waving back next week, Doug?
Come feel the heartbeat of America at Waring Chevrolet, 107 East Alger, or online at waringsheridan.com.
Joe Biden and the radical Democrats spent recklessly, raised your taxes, and tried to shut down American energy. Their EPA went after Wyoming ranches and farms. The result? Record prices and inflation. Conservative Steve Freese has a plan to make life affordable again.
People ask me, why does everything cost so much? It's simple. Politicians tax too much and spend too much. As a businessman, I know the value of a dollar and how to balance a budget. Take it from me, we can cut spending. Politicians just have to try. In Congress, I'll tighten government's belt. We'll cut outright fraud and keep taxes low. And more energy production means everything costs less.
Steve's plan? Lower taxes, less regulation, stop the fraud, end the reckless spending, produce more Wyoming energy.
I'm Steve Freese, and I prove this message because I want to keep your money in your pocket.
Paid for by Freeze for Wyoming.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse. Proudly brought to you by our friends out there at First Federal Bank and Trust. For our second part this morning, I am joined by the Food Group Interim Director, Shane Rader. Did I say that right?
Yes, you did.
Fantastic. And Program Director, Jenny Tribley. Good morning. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
It's been far too long since I've had you on. The Food Group was one of the first 501c3s that I had the honor to work with when I started at Sheridan Media. And kind of coming in and having a direction that I wanted to, A, take the show and kind of change what I wrote about. What a great stepping stone to really start on, because what you do down at the Food Group means so much. And I really, really appreciate all of your efforts down there. For those who don't know, could you tell me what the Food Group does?
Okay, I will. I'll start. Excuse me, Shane can fill in the gaps for me. The food group, basically, our mission is to feed children. And so we have about four different programs that we utilize to try to optimize the filling that need for hungry children in our county, actually, because we work out in Claremont and Ranchester and Dayton as well. So we have weekend food bags that we provide food during the school year at all the schools, and we have a lot of community partners. And then we continue that during the summer as well. And then we also have a home delivery program that once a month we provide fresh local beef and fresh local pork and protein. And then we also have produce from Papa Joe's, Western Variety Farms, and a new one, Tangelon. And then we have a Fresh Express delivery once a month that we get fresh produce that we put all that in for the home delivery. And then we also have, go ahead.
Yeah, so we also have our teen pantry program that operates during the school year in our junior highs and our high schools. That's been an important program in that we often see our numbers fall off for weekend food bags at the middle school, junior high, high school level. And so that's been an opportunity to support those kids there with more of a pantry type setup as opposed to bags. Sometimes there's that stigma around students taking bags and other students seeing them. And so we partner really with the schools and being able to have those champions in the building that help bring those kids in and provide that opportunity to get them food is a big deal.
It's such a tough age, and I can completely understand, you know, they don't want their friends to see. And so it's got just so rough.
Yeah. Another part of our teen pantries at the middle school and high schools is we provide snacks throughout the day. It's kind of two-pronged in that we are trying to help calm the educational setting so kids can get their
their work done before lunch. And also those snacks are for everybody. So we're trying to soften the stigma of, you know, oh, they took a snack. So everybody gets snacks, and we really try to provide healthy snacks. You know, obviously a lot of those things are, you know, we can't afford to provide the optimum, but we do, we get the best we possibly can. So we try to lessen the stigma.
And you want them reaching in. So, you know, a little fruit bar or something, you know, it might have some, you know, a bit of sugar in it, but it's when you're at that age, you probably need it anyway. So
yeah, we call it sustenance.
There you go. There you go. Now, Shane, you stepped into the role of interim director. What's that transition been like up there?
It's been brand new for us. So our current executive director, Oakley Gilliland, just recently went out on maternity leave.
Congratulations.
Congratulate her. She had a wonderful, beautiful boy. And so this is the first week kind of taking the reins. I joined the food group in September of last year. So a new transition for me. And just looking forward to, this will be starting in September, will be my first full year and getting the full cycle of our school programming versus our summer program.
Yeah, yeah. What brought you to the food group?
The biggest driver for me has really been wanting to seek a closer connection to community, wanting to be more involved in that community work. For the past 10 years, I've served on the Sheridan County School District 2 School Board as a trustee. And so I really have a passion for wanting to support our youth in our community. And the opportunity opened at the food group and some great people there that I wanted to join the team.
Yeah, yeah. It'd be hard not to, right? Like the mission is great. The people are great. It'd be hard to say no to a position like that. Jenny, what took you there?
Oh, gosh. I am an underdog champion. I love to be a part of people's success and try to provide that nutrient-rich petri dish that people can find and access and help them make the decisions that they need when they're ready to do the next thing in their lives. Before this, I worked with low-income first-generation students in middle schools and high schools, providing anything and everything we could. We called ourselves the professional nudgers. I love those being a part of people's lives that the odds maybe are against them and they figure out, they show up.
Yeah.
And so I appreciate families that come in that say, hey, we need a little extra this month. We serve families that are two working adults and they still just have too much month at the end of the paycheck.
Yeah. Wow.
To people that are, you know, it's more of a pattern of a lifestyle of needing help. So
that's a great statement,
Jenny. Yeah.
So too much month.
Yeah.
There's just, and I feel like in the current situation, have you seen more families coming in?
Yes.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Shane.
Yeah, I was going to say, we saw the biggest uptick really started end of October last year when there was the impending pause on the SNAP programming at the federal level. We saw a big surge at the end of October, you know, people not knowing where they were going to come up with the money to get food. That trend kind of continued through November. I think some of the additional community supports in terms of, like, we work with a number of other organizations doing holiday baskets for families. And so that kind of helped bridge the gap. And then throughout the spring, we continued to see like the numbers not really drop back down where we were serving over 500 kids a week in our weekend food program, our weekend food bag program. And then it has fallen off in summer, which is typical for the organization. The biggest surprise for me being new and this being my first summer in the role has kind of seen the shift in where we're seeing access points for kids. So one of the big things we did this year was we added three new community sites where we had where we knew that there were kids to try and provide closer access to where they're living and not having them to go as far as their school to pick up food bags.
When you say community sites, what's involved in one of these community sites?
It really depends on the site. We have what we've done with these sites this summer is provide the weekend food bags. But we've asked them to think about if this is something that will continue during the school year and how that might look, whether it's going to be a pantry, like a shelf-stable pantry. I think of it in terms of what a grocery store kind of looks like with shelves, or if they want to stay with the weekend food bag, if that's an easy way to get the food to the families.
It's just prepared. I show up, I grab a bag, and I go.
Yeah, we have a menu every week that we fill those bags with, and it has a breakfast item, a protein, vegetables, and snack items. They weigh about six to eight pounds sometimes. And so they can, if that's their easiest way to get the food, it really, each site does something different. They manage it in their best. They know how to get the food to their people.
They know their community.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that trust between you and the site.
It is trust.
Yeah, where it's just, you know what? You know what you're doing here. Mm-hmm. You know who needs what here, and I'm just going to step back and provide.
Yep, that's really it. We bring the food.
Now, when it comes to staff volunteers, do you guys have a volunteer program that people can jump in and help out?
Yes, absolutely. So the organization is primarily driven through staff. This is the first time that the food group has expanded to 3.5 employees. Myself, Oakley, and Jenny are full-time, and then we have one part-time employee who's new, just started this summer, Shanna Harris. And so we're excited to extend that capacity, but at the same time, the work is primarily driven by volunteers. On a typical month, we see about 80 to 100 volunteers that work with us in different capacities across different programs. The easiest way for people to get involved, often we try and steer them toward our Tuesday packing. That's when we do the bulk of the packing for weekend food bags. And that's a really easy insert. And then depending on their availability, we try and find other opportunities through other programs. But a lot of our volunteers, I mean, they've been doing it five, some 10 plus years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then dedicated volunteers.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
But how easy, you know, how easy would that be to, because once you see the result, once you see the need, yeah. It's an easy choice.
Yeah.
To where I want to put my time.
Yeah, we have we have elementary students that come from Coffeen every December, and we talk to them about you're filling these bags, but what are you really doing? And what you're really doing is helping our community members, and you know we all at some point needed a little extra, and so. You know, it may look like a can of beans, but it really is an opportunity for a family.
Yeah.
So
absolutely.
Yeah, I like the broader spectrum of what we actually do.
And I like that you talk to the kids about that.
Yeah.
You know, we were having a conversation about children in the first half and their perception of the world around them. And I think once, you know, getting to know and falling in love with that feeling of helping somebody, mm-hmm. you get that early, mm-hmm. and it'll stick with you. Mm-hmm. It'll stick with you. Yeah. Now, I've run out of time with you. If somebody wanted to come down or to contact you or to learn more, what's the best route they should take?
Yeah, so I would say certainly just stopping down at our warehouse, which is located at 1141 Crook Street. We're on the same road as the new Dollar General store, right down by the railroad tracks, corner of Crook and 8th. That's what I tell folks, and they can usually find it pretty easy. We're in the old Restore building. We still get people coming in looking for it.
We had one last week.
Food, nothing. I need a sink.
Yeah, right.
Towel bars is a popular one.
It is, isn't it?
That's fantastic. Well, I want to thank both of you for everything that you do. I know you understand your mission probably better than most and the accomplishments that you guys have made over the years, but I genuinely appreciate all the effort. I genuinely appreciate everything. You know, you guys have a mission and a job that when you go to sleep, you know what you're doing.
You're right.
And what a drive.
Yeah, it's a
thank
great,
you.
Yeah, it's an honor to be a part of all of this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Humbling.
Very humbling. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I want to do everything I can to lift you guys up.
Thank you.
Thank you. You've been listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
Sheridan County Fair, one of the many highlights of summer events in Sheridan.
Fair and livestock exhibitions are the foundation for agricultural promotion and a time to remind everyone of the key role that agriculture plays in our local economy and daily lives. It provides opportunities for youth and adult education.
The First Federal Bank and Trust family would like to extend congratulations to all the youth that participate each year. Community is the heart of First Federal.
First Federal Bank and Trust, committed to our community for over 88 years. Member FDIC.
The need is growing, the funding isn't. Today, one in four Sheridan County residents is 65 or older. As our senior population grows, the cost of providing services continues to rise while funding no longer keeps pace. On August 18th, vote yes to create a countywide senior citizen service district. Your vote will protect vital services like transportation, meals, wellness programs, and other services offered through the Hub on Smith that help our seniors remain independent. The district could levy up to 2 mills on taxable property to support these programs, with no levy taking effect before July 2027. The amount would be set each year by a voter-elected board of trustees, and every 4 years, voters would decide whether to renew the district. A single levy would generate $623,000 for programs serving Sheridan County seniors. Lives supported, independence preserved. Learn more at SheridanCountySeniorDistrict.org. Paid for by Sheridan County for Seniors 2026 PAC.
The media attacks him. The insiders attack him. The political establishment attacks him. Why? Because Chuck Gray gets results. Chuck Gray stood with President Trump and fought to keep President Trump on the ballot. And he defended election integrity, requiring proof of citizenship to vote. Chuck stopped a massive foreign-owned wind project from taking over Wyoming land. And stop China, because Chuck Gray will always take the fight to America's enemies. In Congress, Chuck will protect girls' sports, take on the woke agenda, and stand with President Trump. President Trump noticed Chuck Gray's America First work.
Chuck Gray. Great job, Chuck.
The attacks are fake. Chuck Gray is fighting for Wyoming values, Wyoming families, and Wyoming's future. Wyoming doesn't back down. And neither does Chuck Gray.
I'm Chuck Gray, candidate for